Acts chapter 22. And when I pray, if I miss somebody, it's because I can't remember who Scott got and who he didn't. So I remember he got somebody, and I remember he didn't get somebody. All right, I'm just praying. I'm praying for everybody every day, though, all of you. Appreciate you all. All right, Acts 22. Okay. Let's see here. In Acts 22, we're looking at Paul, and he says, men, brethren, and fathers, hear you my defense, which I make now to you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone round about a great light round about me. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which were there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So we're looking here at Paul giving his testimony, and he does that quite often. He does that to Agrippa, and Agrippa says, Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. So actually a couple folks had talked to me, mentioned it Sunday after service about going over some different ways to witness and some things to do to get the word out. And I think the best thing to do is get out there and do it and learn, but I'll give you some ideas, and we'll talk about some things here. Now, Paul was big on giving his testimony, but look who he's talking to. He's talking to people he could relate to in his past life. He's talking to Pharisees. He's talking to religious leaders, and he's telling them, I was just like you, and I met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he changed my life, changed my direction. I was a persecutor of Christians, now I'm a follower of Christ. So using your testimony is a good way to witness, but you have to be careful with that. It's a good way to witness if it's somebody you connect with. Somebody say, you know, I just don't feel like I have any purpose. My life's a mess. I don't know why I'm here. You can say, hey, I felt the same way, and then I got saved. I met Jesus Christ. Now I know what my purpose is. You know, if you were a drunken whoremonger and you hated everybody and you beat people up all the time and you were dealing drugs and in and out of prison, that's probably not the best thing to just walk up to people in Walmart and say, hey, guess what? I did this, that, and the other, but the Lord saved me. Because lost people don't understand what God does. And it's just kind of using the Spirit's guidance and a little bit of common sense, but you can use your testimony. So, well, yeah, I thought, you know, I've had people, I don't know, say a lot of different times, well, I don't know I don't really know what my purpose is. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to believe. I hear all these different things. And I've been able to say, you know, I felt just like you felt one time. But then somebody gave me the gospel. I learned about Jesus Christ, about the death, burial, and resurrection. And I tell them, you know, now I understand what my purpose is and what your purpose is if you trust Christ. You know, just things like that. But there are a lot of times when people will open the door for the conversation. I mean, God just kicks the door off the hinges sometimes. Be standing beside somebody at the checkout, and if you're at Kroger, you might be there for a while, amen, that checkout. You get there at 4:30, 5 o'clock, you might be there. I don't know why they have more than two checkouts. You know, Walmart finally got rid of their 25 checkouts they didn't use, right? But you stand there next to the checkout, and somebody will say something to you and give you an opening to at least talk to them. Once they say something to you, it makes it a lot easier to talk to them. It's harder to initiate the conversation than talk about the Lord. But boy, you know, man, it sure is hot out there. You know, I can't believe I'm getting tired. You know, all this grocery prices. They'll say something. Your grocery prices, boy, I can't believe how high everything is. We got a great opportunity to say, yeah. Hey, the most important thing in the world is free, though. Hand them a track. I mean, it was just the Lord opened a door. And another thing, we've got these different tracks. And I'm talking to Baptists here, so I'm talking to people I know spend money out at restaurants. Amen. Right there. Thank you for your hospitality. That's a great track to leave. And I usually try to tell them, hey, we really appreciate the service. Even if the service kind of stunk, maybe they're having a bad day. Sometimes the service really stinks, amen. Yeah. They come out after you're walking out to the car, they're like, would you like more water? You know, been here 2 hours drive, but I'm good. You know, but hey, thanks for the service. Appreciate you. And check this out when you get a chance. Read it. It's about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or just leave it with a tip. And, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. Some people stick the tip in there so they'll feel like they have to get it out. Some people lay it on top of the tip, whatever. But that's a great track. Thank you for your hospitality. That's a great inroad to witness. And a lot of times I'll hand it to the waitress or waiter at the table in the midst of the meal. Say, hey, let me give you something. Thank you ahead of time. I appreciate you. And get talking to them. And sometimes they'll say they're saved. Sometimes they'll break down and start just giving you their whole life. Once they find out that you're saved, you believe the Bible, they'll want to open up and tell you things a lot of times. And that's what happened on the phone the other night. The other day, talked to that girl for a while. Our internet stinks, man. It's always stunk. And this newer one stinks less, but it still stinks. But talking to her about the problem, she goes, oh, they're working on this tower over here, and we're going to hook you up. We're going to get you off this other tower, and everything's going to be better. And she talked for a while. I said, you go to church anywhere? And she said, no, actually, I don't. And for about 5 minutes, she told me how she was disappointed in religion and upset, a little bit lost her faith and about what had happened in her life and her relationship, and just kept talking and talking and talking. And I just didn't say a word for a while. And then said, well, you know what? And she got talking about her ex and how abusive he was and all this other stuff. I said, well, you know what? The thing is, we're a mess. And people let you down. And you'll let yourself down. I said, but God won't let you down. Start to give you a chance to witness. And eventually we ended up, after going through the plan of salvation, wouldn't you like to be able to pillow your head tonight and know where you're going? She said, yeah, I would. And I said, well, just pray and ask him to forgive you and save you. And she did. And then she said, thank you so much. And I mean, I'm still mad about the internet service. But what an opportunity, you know. What an opportunity. I remember car breaking down once and getting towed several miles from Missouri, and being upset about the car breaking down, getting to witness the tow truck driver on the way back. You know, just the Lord just does stuff like that. He'll use anything. He can use anything if we let him. But I mean, we've got a lot of opportunities, especially when we're eating out, stuff like that. Right now, I mean, you got Juan and Chico and Jose and everybody running around all over the place. We got these tracks too. The only door, the one door. And this is a nice way of telling them Mary's not the way to heaven. You know, we've got some other ones back there that are in Spanish. And to my Catholic friends, stuff like that, with rosary beads on it. You're 99.9% sure if they come across the border, they're Catholic. But they may or may not be. This is good, though. This is good. I give them the other ones a lot of times, too, the Catholic thing, too. I handed them one the other day, and I walked up to one in Kroger. I might have told you about this, but walked up to a group of them in Kroger, and I said, I'll give you one of these to read. Jesus Cristo, El Salvador, Jesus Christ, Savior. And he goes, oh, thank you. And I'm like, the dude speaks better English than I do. But I was wrong. But he could read that, too, so he took it and read it. But anyway, I don't know how long he's been over here, but he's doing better with English than I am. So. But then we have, this is a good one, too. I like this. You can be debt-free for a couple reasons. These are good to go where the fish are biting. You go to the apartments, you go to the trailer parks, you go to the just the average common house. You know, I'm not talking about the upscale neighborhoods. I'm talking about the middle class, lower middle class. I don't like to use that word class. Middle income, lower income. And that kind of gets their attention. That's a good inroad to talk to folks. And 99% of the people in the world are in debt. So other than Donald Trump and the honest Biden family that has lots of money, they'll probably take one of these and go, hey, I'd like to see that. And then we have these true victory tracks. Now, this is great because everybody, all year long, 90% of, or a lot of the veterans are wearing veterans' hats. You see the veterans' hat, you say, hey, thank you for your military service. Let me tell you something. Here, about the greatest, I appreciate your sacrifice. Here's about the greatest sacrifice that was ever made, Jesus Christ, and hand it to him. Let me give you this. I almost always say, let me give you something. And when you say, let me, you're asking permission to give them, and they're wanting something anyway. And you say, let me give them, that's a real easy way to get them to take it. If you say, hey, can I give you something about Jesus Christ? Eh, let me give you something to read. You're getting their permission. You're not forcing it on them. So I kind of like doing that. But these are great. We've got different military tracks. I like this one a lot. We've got different ones back there. But let me tell you about the greatest sacrifice ever made. You know, we appreciate your sacrifice. The greatest sacrifice ever made was made on Calvary. You know, every once in a while they'll go, yeah, amen, brother, that's it, you know. And then sometimes they'll go, oh, thank you, I'll read that. I promise I'll read that. And they'll stick it in their pocket. But there's a few ideas. Like I say, you're giving your own testimony. I wouldn't get into specifics about everything if you were a heathen when you, I mean, a full-blown heathen before you got saved, which a lot of us were, amen. I wouldn't give real specific. Now, if you're one-on-one and you're talking to the guy in the corner and he's going, look, man, I just can't get off booze. And you used to be a drunk, you can say, hey, you know what? I struggled too. We've all been down some road that we had trouble with. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in worse shape than I could ever imagine. But God can help you. The Lord can help you. I give him a track. Read this. Get saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. And then you need to get in a good Bible-believing church somewhere. You give you a chance to talk to them, you know. But, I mean, a lot of times I walk through Kroger parking lot or Walmart parking lot or whatever, and somebody will be walking down there, and I'll say, hey, let me give you something to read about Jesus Christ. Just a drive-by hit, you know. And they'll take it. And sometimes they'll turn around and go, hey, let me ask you a question, you know, or they ask you a question about the Bible or whatever. You know, are you a preacher? Not really, but you have to ask my church folks. I'd say they'd say no. But been accused of it, not enough evidence to convict. But anyway, you hand them that, drive by, they'll ask you a question. Let me ask you this, you know, let me ask you this, let me ask you that. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Then I was talking to a guy the other day, and he says, I said, here, make sure you know where you're going when you leave this place. He said, Jesus Christ shed his blood. He died, he was buried, and rose again. That Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He laid it down on the desk, and he says, well, if that's what you believe, that's fine for you. And I said, well, the alternative is we come from nothing and nothing turned into everything a gazillion years ago. He goes, yeah, but the alternative of coming from nothing is there always was a creator. And I said, well, I do some woodworking and stuff once in a while. I said, when I do it, I said, when I get done with the project, no matter how mediocre or less than mediocre it might be, there's still a creator. I did it. So to believe everything accidentally come into existence is a lot harder to believe. It takes more faith than to believe there's a creator that created everything. Yeah, but one of the things always had to exist. Which, if they really thought what they said, if something, everything come from nothing, nothing doesn't exist. Right? So God existing forever is not really a problem. Where the problem in our mind comes in, we institute time. Because God's outside of time, space, and matter. He just is. He says, I am that I am. And so he's outside of time. So our minds can't deal with that, because we look at everything on a scheduled basis, on the, you know, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and this is when I'm supposed to be here, that's when I'm supposed to be here, it's the beginning of this and the end of that. We look at everything like that, but God doesn't look at things that way. He just is. He exists. That's why everybody, you know, it's hard to understand what's going on. You say, well, God's in control. Well, he's not in control of everything. I'm not a Calvinist, but he's outside of time. He knows what's happening. Just like he knew you were predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ when you got saved. He knew when you were going to get saved. He knew you were going to get saved. He knows people that aren't going to get saved. When God gets to the point, I believe, where he knows people are not going to get saved anymore, he's going to call us out of here. So I hope people hurry up and just get saved. They're going to get saved. Amen. Why do I believe that? And how do I know that's true? Because the book of Revelation, he took John up and showed him people that were saved before we were even in existence. In 90 AD, he showed you to John and me to John, because he's outside of time. But they'll ask you questions and stuff like that, and that's fine. What we need to go over probably in the next few weeks, we'll bring pen and paper with you on Wednesdays, maybe Sunday mornings. And what we'll do is we'll try to hit some of the common questions you get, and some of the common things that you get hit with, like, well, I used to be saved, but I lost it. I don't know if God would ever save me again. I mean, I've had people tell me that. People tell me I get saved all the time. What church you go to? A Baptist or Gateway Baptist? Oh, you guys believe that once saved, always saved stuff? Yeah. Well, that's what the Bible shows for church. Yeah. Well, we don't believe that. Well, why do you believe that? You should be able to give them a verse, or at least if you're dealing with somebody and you have a Bible, you have it written down in the back of your Bible, piece of paper in your Bible, or written in the back of your Bible or something. Eternal security, Ephesians 4:30. Eternal security, John 3:16. Everlasting. I mean, just things like that. But we'll hit some of those things. Try to hit some of those things, and some of the most. I'm trying to think of some of the most common things that people that are really interested in truth are asking. Some people tell me, I want to believe, but I just don't have enough faith. So what I tell them is, read this. Do you have a Bible? Maybe somewhere, I don't know where it's at, or no. Well, I'll get you a Bible. If we can get you a Bible, or you get you a King James Bible, or I'll give them a Bible, if we have access to their information, we can get them one, and give them some Bible verses to read. Read John and Romans. If they read the book of John, they're going to see Jesus Christ as God. They read the book of Romans, they're going to see how to get saved. And they're going to get convicted of that stuff. Why am I telling them, instead of just trying to push them to make a profession of faith, I'm telling them to read the Bible. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when they're reading the Bible, they'll get convicted and they'll start to get the faith they're looking for. I mean, we can give them verses. By the grace of God, we can give them verses. I can say, well, you know, Romans 3:23 says, Romans 6:23 says, Romans 10:8, Romans 10:9, Romans 10:13. And that'll convict them too, but it's good for them to be able to read it too. So, and I don't expect everybody in here to know 75 verses off the top of your head. But just to be able to give them some ideas and say, hey, you know. And read the tracts so you know what's in them. Amen? And you'll know what verses. Well, see right here, it says right here, God so loved the world. You know, it tells, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right there, you can have everlasting life. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written to you to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. You give them the verse reference anyway, and paraphrase or whatever. But anyway, I like these tracts. I like a lot of the tracts out there. I just wanted to use these for military. Good stuff. Everybody's in debt. That's good stuff. Half the people are Spanish, Mexicans. And then two-thirds now. And then we've got this, the hospitality tracts. Now just think about it. If every time you went out to eat, till the Lord comes back, you better hurry because I think he's coming back tonight. If every time you went out to eat, you laid one of these down on the table, in a year, a good Baptist would have witnessed 785 times in a year going out to eat. Amen. You just put this right under your chicken bones, right? With $1 under it. And even if it's bad service, don't leave a penny. Amen. Don't leave a penny in it. We are Cheapskate Baptist Church. Amen. But don't, I don't think you ought to give them 10% either, because that's what the Lord required of the Old Testament. I think they get like 8% if they're a good service. No, I am cheapskate. It's just kind of funny you give somebody a $10 tip when you got a $25 meal, and then the Lord expected 10% from Moses and them. Anyway, these are pretty good tracks. Anybody have any questions? We're going to go over some more of this stuff over the next couple of weeks. I know Paul and Julie had some questions. Glenda probably has some questions, but we'll try to get to them. Anybody heard where they're at tonight? They sick or anything? She's still gone. Yeah, okay. All right.
I know I am.
It's all good. It's Yeah. That's how you know you pass from death into life, when you love the brethren. Love it when they're gone. I'll love you from afar, right? Okay. Anybody have any questions before we wrap up for tonight? Brother?
So there's a gentleman I ran into, and there's also several people I know who are really confused about the Trinity. There's a man at the nursing home, and he does not believe Jesus is God. He said he believes in the unity. It doesn't make any sense, because I mean, it's clear as day that Jesus is God in the Bible. But him and his wife, they go to this weird house church, and maybe that could be for next week, even like going over the Trinity,
See, the problem with apologetics and the Trinity is they've had so much garbage pumped in their head that it's not biblical.
Yeah.
That it's almost hard to undo it. It takes an act of God to do it.
Yeah.
But the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe it. The Mormon, there are a ton of people that don't believe in the Trinity. I don't know why. There didn't used to be. Even lost people believed in the Trinity, 50, 60 years ago. There's so much false doctrine out there, and so many people that don't believe in the Trinity. As far as showing them the Trinity, one really good thing to do is take them to Genesis chapter 1.
Right.
Let us make man in our image and say God made man. Genesis 2:7, he breathed in his nostrils, breath of life, man became a living soul. So Adam had a body, soul, and spirit. Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three parts, you're three parts. You've got flesh, you've got a soul, you've got a spirit. And then Jesus Christ, it's not enough to just say Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Because the Jehovah's Witness has already been knocking on our door saying, oh, that's not what that means. Oh, yeah, that's what it means.
Yeah.
God says what he means, it means what he says. And John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God, nothing was made, gone down the road all the way to John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I mean, you can see right there in those several times in John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ is the Creator. So if you take John 1 and Genesis 1:1, and God created everything, and Jesus Christ is the Creator, and then you show them Adam and the three parts, and they don't get it, they're not going to get it. Yeah.
God the Father calls Jesus. Says,
well, there's another one too that says God is a spirit.
Right.
And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So there's God the Father and God the Spirit. I mean, and Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. He says, when I go away, the Father will send his a comforter. He'll send his spirit.
Yep.
And then he says, I will come again to you.
Yep.
He talks about they're all the same, because they are all the same, but they're three different parts of the same entity.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's hard to deal with folks on that anti-Trinity thing. And the bigger part of it is, well, the Trinity ain't in the Bible. The Word's not, but the Trinity is. The Word's not in there. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the catching away, being caught up, is the rapture. So the word Trinity, I got an eye twitch when I was talking about that Trinity thing, because I get tired of dealing with these Trinity folks. But the whole, the word Trinity, not, well, there are three that bear witness in heaven. I mean, there are different places where it talks about that. It talks about the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And there are specific verses that talk about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it, Jesus Christ said, you're in my hand, nobody will pluck you out. The Father has you in his hand, nobody is able to pluck you out of his hand. I mean, there's a ton of places. You could probably show them 75 verses, and they're still going to go, well, I just don't believe it. So, I mean, really all you can do is pray for them and tell them, you know, look, pray over it and read it yourself. If you don't believe it afterwards, I don't know what to tell you. You know. Well, you know, when we dealt with the... Can't remember the guy's name either, but there was Jehovah's Witness over there.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
We went down there.
See, that's what I thought he was, Jehovah's Witness at first, because he was saying that, but then he wasn't there. He was some different thing. But
yeah, it's just a different flavor of Jehovah's Witness or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Acts 20:28, of course, God purchased the church with his own blood. So, I mean, there's a ton of verses in there on the Trinity.